Welcome to Voices from the Streets from the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. You'll learn how our dedicated staff and volunteers use the transforming work of God's Word to change the lives of the homeless and addicted. You'll hear the unpolished stories of the homeless and broken and the hope that brought them to freedom and a new future in Christ. Now, here's Executive Director Pastor Robert Briggs of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission.
It's a joy to be with you again this afternoon as we have another episode of our wonderful broadcast from the Union Gospel Mission, the Voices from the Streets. And what we've been doing over the last number of weeks, we've been getting some of our staff and some of the men who've been graduating from our program, and we've been having an opportunity to interview them. And it's a great delight for me today to have one of my close friends whom I've known almost since I came to Sacramento. In fact, I've known this man before I came to Sacramento 22 years ago, and that is Joe King. Joe, good to have you here this afternoon.
Well, thank you.
Joe is a co-pastor with me at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and he is also one of my chaplains at the Union Gospel Mission, and he is also a native of Sacramento. I always joke that there are two sets of kings in Sacramento. One is the ones that play basketball, the Sacramento Kings, and then the other one are the good kings, and that is Joe and his family, and I delight in that. And so, Joe, we're going to talk this afternoon about how you came to faith in Christ and how you ended up working with one of your old friends from Scotland at the Union Gospel Mission. So tell us a little bit, Joe, about where you were born, where you grew up, a little bit your family background.
Yes, I was born here in South Sacramento, raised in a large family, lots of brothers, one sister, and had some religious upbringing through my mom. Roman Catholicism. When I was around seventh grade, probably, one of my older brothers came home and told me that he was born again. And that was the first time I heard the term born again, and how he that the ball became rolling for us as far as reading the Bible and hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, and then how I came to faith in Christ is through Christians who had witnessed to me about the gospel and going to a Billy Graham crusade in the 80s, and then hearing the gospel was clarified even more through a radio station actually that I was listening to. And then I ended up being a part of IBC for almost 30 years now, been a member of IBC, and I've been blessed ever since.
Wonderful. So you grew up in South Sac. I believe it was at Rodney that was the one who was the first one that was exposed to the gospel through the Billy Graham influence.
Yes.
Yeah, your brother Rodney, who's also with us at IBC. You grew up in South Sac. You're seventh grade, so my British brain has to add all of that up. You were about, what, 12, 13 years old at the time?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so what about your high school life, Joe, then? Tell us what high school you went to.
I went to Luther Burbank High School.
Burbank,
yes,
a well-known high school in South Sac. Yep. And you like to play the other kind of football than the one that I like, Joe, the one with the big giant peanut, as I call it. You love to play football.
I love to play basketball more than I like to play football.
Okay, though. Basketball. Yes, your dad was a basketball coach, wasn't he?
Yes.
Your dad coached basketball.
Yes.
Yeah. So all of your brothers, or most of the brothers that I know, you guys all liked your sports, and basketball was a sport you played, and football as well. Now, of course, you've got to know a little bit about soccer. Not much, but a little bit. So when would you say, Joe, you were converted? Would you say that you were converted in your high school years or after your high school years?
In my early 20s.
Okay, so you were even out of high school.
Yeah, I was out of high school. So when I became convicted of my sin around 21, I'm not too sure, but it's around that time when I came under heavy conviction of my sin. It was through my brother Ernie, actually. We used to hang out, and something happened to him. He changed, and he was reading the Bible, and I got convicted of my sin, and then I started hearing him reading the Bible to us with me and my friends, and then he wrote a letter to a station, and we found a church, and we started going to church, and that's when began to get,
The rest is history, as they say, Joe.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you and Ernie, of course, Ernie's a good friend as well, and he pastors at Redeemer Bible Church in Elk Grove, was with us at IBC for many years. You and Ernie and some of your other brothers found a church. It wasn't IBC initially, though.
No, it's not. It's called Evangelical Christian Reformed Church.
Right.
The Heidelberg Catechism, Canons of Dort, and Belgian Confession. It was the three forms of unity.
Wonderful. Three forms of unity. So you were getting well grounded in historic Reformed theological truths. How did you end up at IBC? Can you remember that story? Because it's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a friend of a friend who was not a member of the church that I was at Evangelical Reformed Church, but him and the pastor were friends, but not kind of like that close of a friend. They had some issues on some doctrines, and so he invited me one day to go to the service just to hear the preaching of the word. So I decided to go, and I went to the Sunday school, actually, and I heard him teaching through the Sunday school class, and I was hook, line, and sinker. I couldn't stop. I heard biblical Christianity. I was hearing biblical Christianity explained and preaching and applying the Word of God, which I did not have a lot up until that point. I didn't have a full-orbed understanding of, you know, biblical Christianity and what it looks like.
Right.
Yeah.
So Emmanuel Baptist Church was founded in about 1982 under the auspices of Sovereign Grace Church. Changed its name to Emmanuel Baptist Church in about 1990. Obviously, I know this because I'm one of the pastors and I've studied the history. You probably came then to Emmanuel fairly early when it was in the building that we're now in Midtown.
Yeah.
Is that about right?
That's right. I started attending the second day that it started at the church at Midtown.
Wow, yeah. Just the second week
So
you've been there second week, since the very beginning.
Yeah, I was a visitor for about a year and a half until I became a member I became a member in 1994, in October. So
1994, wow, that's remarkable, Joe. So I came to Emmanuel in 2003 and became a pastor. You were a deacon when I first came to Emmanuel, but you were also single when I first came to Emmanuel.
Right.
But you're not single anymore.
No, I'm not.
You've been married how long to Anna?
Almost 19 years.
Yeah, one of the fun things I enjoy about being a pastor in a church for a long time is you see various folks get married and then start having family. You've got two beautiful daughters.
Yep. And Sophia and Lydia. Today's Lydia's birthday. She turns 15 today.
Wonderful. Yeah. And your challenges of fighting off young men are just beginning.
That's right.
So Anna is from the Dominican Republic.
That's correct.
And so they go back and forward sometimes to the Dominican, and we're delighted that Anna has come to the U.S. And of course, your family are very dear to me, Joe, and so we bless God for that. You're no longer a deacon at Emmanuel. You're one of the pastors at Emmanuel, and you serve the church very faithfully and capacity pastorally. But your actual life, your vocational life, your public life, your working life, tell us a little bit about that, Joe, because you were very faithful in a hard industry and a challenging industry for many, many years until just recently.
That's correct. I worked for Raleigh/Bel Air for just 38 years.
Right.
With the company. As of November of last year, I retired, and then I became part of the UGM chaplaincy.
Right. So you worked in the grocery industry. I know we've had some fun stories over the years hearing about different things, about what it's like to really work in a grocery store. I had a little bit of experience of that when I was at high school, because I used to work in the delicatessen and cut the meats as a part-time job when I was at high school. But you were there 38 years, very faithful, hard-working. Over the years, I remember you going, telling me you were getting up to go to work at 1:30 and 2 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, wow, this man knows how to work hard. But the Lord blessed you with a kind of retirement from all of that, mm-hmm, to full-time Christian ministry now.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit just about how that transition has worked in terms of your own life and your soul, and where you're at right now in terms of just having launched into this whole new chapter of your life.
Yeah. The grocery business, I had my heyday at the grocery business. I was kind of waiting to retire, actually, and the Lord provided UGM, and I was encouraged to apply for it, and I found, you know, got the job, Pastor Lane and yourself and Scott Holman as well. And what I've seen, I got the wind in my sails come back to me, as far as, because I love people, I love, you know, I love talking to people. I love helping people. And what other than being able to help the souls of men who are, you know, hurting and suffering and all of the above, right? And here to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to these men that are coming off their addictions and trying to find hope in the gospel. And here I am. I have to play a role, and God has given me grace and gifts to be able to exercise those gifts and graces to minister to these men and to participate in the whole UGM gospel effort that we're seeking to reach out to in Sacramento. So I'm privileged by it, and it's an awesome responsibility. But yet God gives He gives grace, and I can attest to that God gives grace to help and to be a blessing. I'm being blessed, and I'm also being a blessing to others.
Amen, amen. Well, one of the things I've enjoyed, Joe, as one who's been your friend for over 20 years and been your pastor for the same time, is to watch something of the renewal of your heart as you've entered into a new chapter of your life, where you're able to devote yourself full time to ministering to men who need the gospel. And you're one of our three chaplains at the mission who works full time with our New Life program. I think it'd be good for our people who listen to our program to have a little bit of an idea of how we kind of map out the 10 months New Life program that we have for the 24 men, if we're full, which is what we can take, and we are full right now, 24 men who come on and live on our campus. How do we kind of map it out in terms of what the chaplains actually do? Tell our folks a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we have classes every day, one early in the morning, 8 o'clock, and then there's one in the afternoon at 3 o'clock. And basically, we go through either what is the gospel, or the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, or the Apostles' Creed. So we teach that, you know, regularly through the classes, and teach the men, you know, the gospel, teach men the importance of the Bible, teach men of the confessions and the catechism as well. The catechism is very valuable and very beneficial for us as chaplains, but also for the men that are coming on board to see this is what Christians have always professed, and this is what Christians have taught, and this is what we should actually seek to pursue in our lives as well.
Right. So you've got the classes, which I know you're participating in as a tag team with the other two brothers, Chris and Alan. But you also are involved quite heavily in counseling the men, aren't you?
That's correct. Yeah. So we have men are assigned to each chaplain, and I have 9 men right now that I minister the Word of God with them, and I'll read with them, I'll pray with them, I'll seek to answer questions and try to help them connect the dots in their lives between their addictions and the gospel and what that looks like if you're a Christian, and what it means for you to live a life that's honoring to God, and a life that's glorifying God, and a life that's contributing to others in their contexts.
Right. And so the challenge for us, of course, is the fact that when men come into our program and they've got addictions, they're not all familiar with the gospel. They're not all certainly Christians. And the challenge for us is actually working in their lives for such a limited period of time. We've only got 10 months with these men. But in terms of what we're trying to accomplish, Joe, what would you say for you as you know, you come in every day, you pray for these men, you work with these men, you teach these men. What is for you your ultimate hope and desire for these men?
That they would know and understand who Jesus actually is and what He has done in His saving work.
Right.
And once that is, as much as I can help them to see the glory of Christ, and that His grace is sufficient for all sinners, right? And to believe in Christ.
Right.
He's the only Savior of sinners, and your life will be transformed by the power of the gospel. It may not be that your life is going to be any other different than it used to be, in the sense that you're no longer going to be a slave of sin, but now you're longer going to be a slave of righteousness, and that you'll seek to glorify God in your life and in your individual choices that you're making, and what you value and what you perceive as to be the good life, right? It's Christ mm. and his glory and his kingdom. And I'm trying to encourage that, to understand that more than anything else, is that, you know, if you're a new creation in Christ, you have received every blessing, right? And you're headed for glory. And in the meantime, you have to live by faith and not by sight. And you have to recognize the danger of, you know, sin, the flesh and the devil, and those things will never go away. But God promises that he that begun a good work in you, he'll bring it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. So just keeping them hope.
Right.
Keeping them centered on Christ, keeping them understanding what life should look like as new creatures of new creations of God, and we look forward to seeing Christ.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. And so really, you know, it's good for our listeners to understand that when we think about our name, Union Gospel Mission, that which is the dominant aspect of our life together is the gospel of Christ. And therefore, when men come into our program, we're unashamedly concerned to see them come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, because Amen. We believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is what they actually need the most Amen. To break the power of the addictions mm-hmm. that have gripped them. And so that's what you're laboring for every day. And, you know, there are times that we do see that, and we've had some of the men on the program here. I think a Christian, I think a Caesar, I think a Cliff, they come to mind very quickly, men who have been truly brought from death to life to believe in Christ, and their lives have been changed.
Yes.
And yet, we also know that there are others that we labor with who don't come to faith in Christ, and mm-hmm. they come through our program. We still love them. Mm-hmm. We still try to help them. Mm-hmm. We still try to minister to their material needs as much as we can. But at the end of the day, the reason why the Union Gospel Mission exists is to bring the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are lost and perishing, and the power of the gospel to them, that they might be actually delivered from the things that have really been destroying their lives, whether it be addiction to drugs or to alcohol or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. What would you say, Joe, as you know, look back on, how long have you been at the mission? About 7-8 months now? What would be some of the highlights for you that, you know, you think, I've really enjoyed this. This has been a great encouragement to you.
Well, seeing some of the men respond well to the teaching, and to see some of them actually, you know, I believe are born again, and that their lives are, they're seeking to join a local church and identify with God's people. And there are, some of them are getting jobs, and their lives are being mended again, you know, right before our very eyes. And we're right. seeing how we're participating in that, encouraging that in each of these men's lives, and to see them, you know, change their demeanor, their, some of them have been depressed, and some of them have been, you know, damaged and suffering and all of the above. And to see, you know, see them hopeful, and seeing them encouraged, and seeing them persevering. We're all called to persevere, but to see it, you know, in their lives individually, and, you know, seeing how we encourage the men to, you know, it's the good fight has begun. So let's keep fighting, you know, living by faith, not by sight, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, but just encouraging and seeing those, you know, those responses and those evidences of graces in their lives, you know, self-control and kindness and forgiveness and gentleness, and seeing those graces being formed in their lives is so encouraging to see, yeah, for me.
So, I mean, bottom line for us, and I share that completely, Joe, is that our great reward, our great joy is the salvation of men, and those who do come in through our doors, seeing their lives actually rescued yes. by grace through faith in Christ from destruction. Yeah, and of course, we have not just our 10-month program, but we have then our Redemption House, which we have for men who want to apply to that after the program, with the intention that those men then will be connected with local churches, they will be discipled in local churches, and that they will get employment, so that they can move then into the third phase, which is beyond our Redemption House, and that is into their own place, as you said, mending their lives. I like that. where they're standing on their own two feet again, they're living for the glory of God, mm-hmm. And they're contributing to society mm-hmm. in God-honoring, God-glorifying ways, which is really the ultimate end for the men on this side of heaven, mm-hmm. that we actually see them living for the Lord. And there's no doubt that that is for us at the mission a great blessing to see when it happens. If you want to know what you should be praying for, I would encourage you to be praying for Joe and Chris and Alan, our chaplains, as they're on the front line every single day with the men in our program. They're ministering the word privately. They're ministering the word in the classroom. They're ministering the word casually, even as they sometimes shoot basketball hoops around the back of the mission, or pumping some iron in our little gym that we have for the men. And maybe you're thinking, wow, this is an interesting work. You'd like to come down and see what we're doing. We'd love to have you visit with us at the Union Gospel Mission, give you a tour, and maybe perhaps you're even thinking, maybe you want to partner with us in this wonderful gospel work. Because really that is what we're about at the Union Gospel Mission. And as Joe has mentioned, the blessing for us is seeing men actually saved. In terms of discouragements and challenges, Joe, what would you say have been some of your challenges as we move towards a close this afternoon?
Some of the challenges is sometimes I'm not knowing what I'm looking at as far as some of the men whose lives have been destroyed because of drug addiction or alcohol, and me trying to actually minister to some of these particular men. And sometimes I feel, man, I don't know if I have what it takes to, you know, counsel this person or what to say to him or how to encourage him, other than, you know, what I have, obviously the Bible. And I know the Bible's sufficient in and of itself, but the particulars of trying to encourage them, you know, emotionally or mentally or even physically, you know, I'm ministering to the spiritual aspects of these men. I mean, it's holistic, but sometimes I just feel, I don't know if I have what it takes to help these men, but the Lord does provide.
Amen. And we often find that our inadequacies, our weaknesses, the Lord uses to encourage us to lean into Him and lean more on Him, because ultimately we know that we are not in and of ourselves sufficient to help these men, but we know one who is sufficient to help them. And we find at the mission very often that in our inadequacy and in our weakness and in our insufficiency, of which we have much, the Lord graciously steps up and graciously helps us. And we often talk about that, how the Lord has been pleased to step in and help us, where we often recognize, I'm not sure how I can help this man or whatever, because our men are coming to us out of various difficult situations, either direct from prison, mm-hmm. Off the streets, perhaps a referral from a family member with an addiction that the family don't know what to do. And so we have many challenges in that regards. But we're very grateful that we have quality men in our leadership at the mission who are serving Christ amongst us. And Joe and Alan and Chris, our chaplains, would love to know that you are praying for them. And if you want to know more about their work, that you come and visit with us at the mission. As we look to the future, it is our desire that we would see as many men coming to faith in Christ as possible as we work together as a mission. You've been listening to Pastor Robert Briggs, the Executive Director of Union Gospel Mission in Sacramento, my good friend Joe King, who's also a pastor with me at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and you've been listening to Joe's testimony and something of the work that he is doing at the Union Gospel Mission. Please pray for us. Please go to our website, ugmsac.org, and you'll find more information there of what we are about at the Union Gospel Mission. We're so thankful for your partnership, for your support, as we reach the least, the last, and the lost with the great message of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Voices from the Streets from the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission with Pastor Robert Briggs. We hope you've been moved by how God is in all they do for the homeless, addicted, and those struggling in our communities. They're honored to serve with daily meals, food boxes, clothing and shoes, a 10-month recovery program for men, the New Life Ministry for women and children, safe shelter at night, mailboxes, chapel services, hygiene products, and showers. To learn more, donate either goods or financially, volunteer, or take a tour, visit ugmsac.com.